thank you, Lord, for the power in the blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I'm so glad that we have an opportunity to get everything under the blood. Amen. Thank you, musicians and singers. God bless you for leading us in worship this morning. Amen, amen. Is there a bug flying here this morning? I didn't even know about the bug last Sunday. He said he lit. Did he light on my collar? What kind was it? A hornet? I tell you, if a bug bites you, he ought to fly away singing, "There's power in the blood." He ought to have the Holy Ghost before he gets too far away from you. So if he bites me, so be it. Amen, amen. If you'd like to stand, I'll read a couple of verses of Scripture. First Samuel chapter 21, verse 8. And David said unto Ahimelech, "And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." You know why it required haste? Saul was hot on his heels. He's trying to kill him. David didn't tell the whole story. He just said the king's business requires haste. I didn't bring anything with me. Do you have a weapon? And the priest said, verse 9, and the priest said, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it. For there is none, there is no other save that here." That's the only weapon he had. And David said, "There is none like that. Give it me." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning I have titled this lesson, "The Victory is Behind Your Worship." The victory, or your victory, is behind the worship. God bless you. Might be seated. Amen, amen. We all know the story of David running from Saul. And if you read just prior to these scriptures, you read about David requesting a shewbread, and it was for the priest only, but there was new shewbread already cooked, ready to be put out for the next week. And you know the story about him giving David the shewbread and stuff. And but David, in his haste, he had no weapons, and he needed one badly. Of course, the scripture I just read, you know that there was one there, and it was the sword of Goliath the Philistine. And he said, "It is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod." It was very common in those days to wrap your valuables in a cloth. If you read about the parable of the talents, it talks about wrapping the coins, or he opened it up that he had them wrapped in a napkin. And it was not uncommon to wrap valuable things and things of significance in a cloth. And David knew that this sword was second to none. And it doesn't specifically talk about the weight of the sword as it does his spear and some other parts of Goliath's armor. But most of them believe the sword probably weighed about 10 to 12 pounds. I challenge you to go find something that weighs 10 pounds and swing it and act like you're fighting with it for about a half a day. Your arm's going to fall off. But I tell you, there was something about this sword. I don't know if it was the craftsmanship. I don't know what it was. But David said, "There is none like that. Give it to me." He knew that there was victory in that sword. Amen. but it had to be taken out from behind the wrap in the ephod to use it. The ephod that was in front of the sword was a linen garment, and it was worn by a priest. And on occasion, even David, when the ark came back to Jerusalem, he put on a linen ephod. And also this type of garment was worn by Samuel as a child when he ministered in the temple with Eli. The ephod was made with fine linen. It had a couple of straps on it, and it hung down in front, and it was woven. We'll read a scripture here with all different colors, and it even had, when the scripture talks about the gold in it, they would actually beat gold, and they would spin it and make it into a fine thread almost, and weave this gold into this ephod. And if you haven't picked up on it already, it was a garment of praise. It was a garment of worship that was used by the priest in the temple. Exodus chapter 28, verse 6, "And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet, and fine twined linen with cunning work." This thing had to look good. But this ephod symbolized worship, and the priests wore it when they ministered before the Lord. Isaiah 61:3 even talks about putting on the garment of praise. Once in a while, folks, we have to praise and worship. If we want anything done, if we want victory, we have to praise and we have to worship. Because our victory is behind our worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the sword of victory that David had in his possession was positioned behind the ephod of worship. I'm telling you, your victory is behind your worship. And the priest had to follow a process and a pattern in the temple as he ministered before the Lord. There was a process to this all. And I'm telling you, when we get the pattern right, the power will fall. When we get the pattern right, the power will fall. But there's something that we have to do. There's a process that we have to do. The sword of Goliath undoubtedly brought back a lot of memories to David of his great victory over the Philistine when he challenged the armies of Israel. And David was just a young lad. You got to remember, back in those days, you had to be about 19 years of age before you were ever inscripted into the military. So David wasn't even of military age at the time this happened. He was just bringing provisions on order of his father to his brothers on the battlefield. But even in his young age, when he heard the challenge issued by Goliath, one of the first things out of David's mouth, he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" You know what the circumcision was all about? David is saying, "Who is this guy to find the armies of Israel that's not even under the covenant? He doesn't have the right to." And no doubt David remembered the last words he said to Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. And this was after Goliath had already issued his challenge and said to David what he said. "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee." Now he done told David, "I'll tear you from limb to limb, feed you to the birds of the air. This day the Lord will deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth." Why? "That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Verse 47, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's." I want you to remember that phrase, "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." The scripture says, "Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." Amen. Hallelujah. It's not our strength. It's not what we know and what we do. It is by the power and the Spirit of God. But I tell you, we have to be able to worship Him in the good times and in the bad, because our victory comes behind our worship. Amen. Amen. So what a day in David's life. He's running from Saul and running from the very one that should be supporting him and encouraging him. But David said, I need that sword of victory. There's none like it. Give it to me. Amen. That's what I want. I want the best God has for us. Amen. And our victory will always come after our worship. Anybody can rejoice and worship after the victory. But the Lord said there's an ephod of worship to put on before victory comes. Amen. Before you handle the sword of victory, you have to have the praise and the worship and the ephod of worship on. Amen. Now, interestingly enough, the ephod was supposed to be worn by the priest while in the temple. And if David was there in the temple where the shewbread was and stuff, for some reason, Ahimelech had taken off the ephod and had laid it down. And I tell you, when you take off your worship and you take off your prayer life, you are at the devil's leisure. I mean, he will use you and take you. I tell you, don't ever take off your garment of praise. Don't ever take off the ephod of worship. Hallelujah. Worship comes from two words, worth-ship. If you're going to be a worthy vessel sailing on the sea of life, you better have worship. Amen. You better have your ephod of worship on. Even angels worship him around the throne. Amen. I don't care how much you know what your position is or what my position is. We must worship. Hallelujah. We must worship. Thank God. Thank God. I tell you, the Lord is ready to send revival, the Harvest Time Worship Center. And we have the word worship in the name of this organization or this assembly. And I want it to be a house of worship. Amen. And the Lord will send revival when we put the ephod of worship in its proper place. And then the victory will come. Amen. Amen. For the battle is not ours, it's the Lord. Our walk is by faith and not by sight in Christ to complete the work. But we have to get our worship and our praise and everything in order to witness victory. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Why do we need worship? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I challenge you. Maybe I shouldn't say it that way, but don't be guilty of going up against powers of darkness and principalities and that sort of thing without worship and praise in your life. There will be no victory. Amen. We have to have that. We have to have that spiritual power to battle those things. This area or this arena of battle requires us to worship before the victory comes. I tell you, a lot of people just kind of wait on God to give me something and worship you so I can thank you, so I can give you glory. I've heard it a lot of times. Well, if God, you do this for me, then I'll... Oh, Lord, you just save. You just heal. You just do that, and then I'll... I tell you, get all this together here in a second. These kind of people, I call them just waiters. Just waiting on God, not having a vision or understanding at all their destiny. They're just waiting, and I understand. Sometimes we have to wait on an answer from God. I've told you before. Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it's a yes, a no. Immediate. Sometimes it's just wait. Hold on. But I tell you, God has a destiny for you and has a destiny for me, and we will get there with victory through our worship. Amen, amen. I'm telling you, you can sing about the sweet by and by, but every now and then we got to think about the here and now. Amen, amen. God is looking for true worshipers. The scripture says the Father seeketh such to worship him. We all know about the story of him and the Samaritan woman at the well and how he ministered to her. She went back into the city and all the people came out to see what it was all about. And I think the Lord let her know the location of worship is not as important as the attitude of worship. There's a whole lot of difference between true worship and going through the motions. Amen. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I've been guilty. Excuse me, guilty of that. To just fall in. But I'm telling you, God is looking for true worshipers. I got several scriptures here. I hesitated to do this since it's a little bit lengthy, but I want you to listen to this, and you can read it up on the screen. Watch what happens when worship is first. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting with verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Right off the bat, sound like the odds are against Jehoshaphat. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not? Art not thou, O our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and we cry unto thee in our affliction. How many remembers the scripture we read last Tuesday night about being afflicted, what we're supposed to do? Pray. Amen. Then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of the possession which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Teach your children how to worship. Teach your children how to praise. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benani, the son of Jael, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Thank God there's somebody that the Spirit of the Lord can speak to. Amen. We ought to all desire that. Be sensitive to the voice of God. Verse 15, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. Verse 16, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Druel. Them guys didn't have a chance. He done told them where they're coming from, where they're going to be. Verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord. Verse 19, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the God, Lord God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they, as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Pay attention to what the man said. Verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And they began to sing and to praise. Did I not challenge you to when you're happy and you want to worship, just start singing? Amen. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Boy, God's got a way of taking care of things. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. That's called total victory. Amen. Verse 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away